I never got to meet my paternal grandfather. He died very young of a massive heart attack, and that was before my father married my mother. My grandfather was an Anglican minister and very, very steeped in his faith. He was an intellectual, and his sermons were apparently known to be very detailed and thoughtfully crafted in their theology. I'm still working on that. But my father's older sister was taking care of the funeral arrangements. Over the years, my father told me several times about the phone call he got from her asking what scripture passage that should be inscribed on my grandfather's tombstone. Without thinking, during that phone call, my father replied, "The just shall live by faith," from Romans 1, verse 17. And I've seen that tombstone in my grandfather's grave in Montreal. And that is indeed what is there, what is inscribed there. My father and I talked a number of times over the years about whether Martin Luther's edition of the word, "the just shall live by faith," alone was appropriate or not, my dad having grown up an Anglican. But we never had big disagreements over that, but the principle was that he saw his father as a man of faith and combined with this aspect of justice. I think that we can say that we have a well-established sense of justice, of what it means to be just. And it has something to do with the law, it has something to do with our court system, it has something to do with right and fair treatment, both inside in the church and without. We also talk about social justice, which has a lot to do with how the poor and the downtrodden are treated. In sacred scripture, justice is intimately related to righteousness, to holiness. It is the essential quality of God. To be just is to be like God, who gave us life. In the verse from Romans that is on my grandfather's tomb, justice is the path which goes through faith itself. Paul's letter to the Romans is a very deep dive into this relationship, and we will be reading through Romans on our weekday readings for a few days, so we will have to get kind of used to this language, which is sometimes very challenging language and ideas as Paul develops them. So as his letter begins, he already uses language that needs to be understood. It may not be as clear to us as Paul would want it to be. For 1,500 years of Christianity, 15 centuries of understanding that our faith and our actions, our works, are two sides of the same coin when it comes to our salvation in Christ. But that reform movement, the Reformation, sought to make faith the only requirement for that salvation. In fact, in the 16th century, Martin Luther, as I said, added the word "alone" to "the just shall live by faith" in his translation of the Bible. To make it clear, he thought that we can't save ourselves by our actions. But Catholic teaching has always been that there is a close relationship between faith and works, between how we worship and how we act, between what God wants to do for us and how we respond to God's invitation to be saved from sin and death. St. Paul says that when we do not fulfill justice with God, we won't be just to our neighbor. But what he means by that justice towards God is that if we do not worship God with interior piety from our hearts, from the depth of our hearts, wickedness towards others will be the result. He says that if we don't give our minds to God in proper and total worship, which means being just towards God, then our thinking will become futile and our capacity to know the truth about God will be darkened. It's that powerful image. So that's the ultimate in fake news, our capacity to see the truth. Lack of piety and the truth about God leads to wickedness, essentially, Paul says. And God hands those over who refuse to see the truth, who refuse to allow the light of truth to engage in their heart, God will give them over to their own lust and impurity. Once we lose the truth about God, we lose the truth about humanity and proper behavior. That's the real source of wickedness. I think we are in a dangerous time when many in our culture have turned away from justice towards God, from right worship. There will be many opinions about what is good or bad behavior, but if Paul is right, wickedness and greed, lack of justice towards other human beings, will follow lack of justice, proper worship towards God. And this is exactly the issue that Jesus takes up with the Pharisees and others time and time again. His image of the dirty cup is a prime example of his clarity on this. In every single gospel passage that we might study, Jesus always sees whether justice towards God is guiding people's behavior towards others. Jesus always sees the inside of the cup, doesn't he? Yet, in every single gospel passage, we see that God, the God who made the inside of the cup, sees what we have done with the inside of our own hearts and minds, the cups that represent our lives. The Pharisees represent a commitment to superficial religion and not to justice towards God. You and I can't let that happen to us, can we? I know the embarrassment, maybe you do if your dishwasher isn't as effective as it should be. I know the embarrassment I feel when I get out a wine glass for a guest and I realize as I hand it to them that there is spots on the inside of it where it hasn't been totally cleaned. And I think that I need that healthy kind of shame when it comes to whether my worship of God is also not clean. With the wine glass, I look closely at it in a bright light. In the spiritual life, I need to ask our Lord for his light to shine into the places that may have grown dark in my own mind, in my own heart. And then I need to sacrifice anything that I find there, crucifying it on the same cross that our Lord gave his life so that my life would be good and holy and just towards God and towards others. I think today that if we were to retell the story of salvation, just using today's readings, it would be like this. I would do it like this. First from the psalm, the heavens are telling the glory of God. God created everything, and he saw that it was good. In that creation could be seen finite reflections of the infinite glory of God. From Romans, man, humanity, cast his eyes down from heaven and worshiped those created things, making himself the measure of all things, forgetting to give thanks to the one who made them. And his mind and heart became darkened. And then finally from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus shed light on the hearts of all humankind, making us aware of our hypocrisies, our fake worship. He gave us himself as the perfect sign of true worship and justice. How will we know when we are just cleaning the outside of the cup, going for the appearance of holiness, but leaving the inside of the cup filthy? Well, we must aspire to be saints. And I think I couldn't do better than phrase it the way Pope Francis does in the little phrase that's in the Daily Missal today. We are called to be saints. And Pope Francis says, the saints were not superhuman. They are people who love God in their hearts. And so today, brothers and sisters, let us make our faith truly just. Let everything begin with the light of Christ.